Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready to wrap up their latest series against Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, back here in San Diego, it's Comic-Con again. So our host, Jesse Agler, will be discussing the differences between people who like to dress up as Darth Vader versus those who like to dress up as Goku.
Again, I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. But it's definitely a different approach.
As for our other host, Kurt Bavacqua, thanks to all these finely costumed fanatics, he'll be getting the heck out of here right after the show.
So I'll be sitting on the beach with headphones on, listening to the game on the radio.
Hey, whatever works.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
I literally have no idea what a Goku is.
I was just going to ask the same thing.
I have no idea. I barely know who Darth Vader is. Like, that's just not my scene. It's not my scene. Nothing against it. If it is your scene, talk about scenes. Look at the park at the park. There's a Ferris wheel out there.
There's a Goku in there somewhere.
There are several Gokus.
There are.
I feel like just from the name of it, the Goku, I mean, we'll figure it out. We'll Google it or somebody will tell us on Twitter. I feel like a Goku is probably a small creature of some sort. I'm picturing something small and furry with big ears. Just based on the name.
I think that's a good guess.
You like that?
Yes.
Do you have a guess about what a Goku is?
No.
Okay.
But it would have been that one.
I feel like Blooper, if anybody, would know what a Goku is. Any clue?
My go-to for this stuff is Mike Grace.
Okay.
And he had no idea.
He had no idea.
Really?
So then this must be really deep,
yeah.
Dark Comic-Con stuff. You know, I hope it's nothing illicit.
Blooper looks like a Goku.
He could be a Goku.
He could.
You could be a Goku. You've got a Goku look.
It's a cute little fairy thing.
I'm receiving
fairy
word
thing, I mean.
It's a dragon.
Oh, really?
So.
Wow.
It's a character. Okay.
A big dragon.
A big dragon or a little dragon?
I wouldn't have envisioned that.
And what's it from? Dragon Ball Z. I don't even know what that is.
We're geeks.
Apparently not. If we were geeks, we would know what a Goku was. Is it Game of Thrones? No. My wife loves Game of Thrones. I can't stand it.
Dragon Ball Z is a show.
Oh, it's a show. Is it a kid show or a grown-up show? Nobody knows anything about this thing. Everybody's acting like they know something, and then you have another question, and they go, anyway.
And the heads go flying everywhere.
No more about the Goku. All right? We got no more dragon talk.
That's a riot.
Because we got Justin Upton talk, which unfortunately is not Justin Upton, not a dragon. He's a human being, and so when he strains an oblique, he's not able to play. And apparently that's what happened. So Justin Upton was in the original starting lineup for the Padres today, as you may have heard or seen by now. He was scratched. And so initially, when the second lineup came out and Justin Upton was not in it, people started saying, oh, he's been traded. You know, you had a little bit of that taking place. It's not the case. So Pat Murphy, just about a half hour ago or so, was sitting in the dugout at PNC Park in Pittsburgh visiting with the media. And we've got audio from Pat Murphy. Here's what he said about Justin Upton. To just a little while ago.
Well, we were hoping he was, but we don't want to risk anything with him. You know, he felt it in his oblique, and he nursed it yesterday a little bit. And then made a catch in St. Louis. You guys remember the catch he made in St. Louis in left field? Really stretched himself and went there. And I think that's when he first felt it a few days ago, and then today he's more sore than usual. Did treatment, tried to hit in the cage, and. You know, just decided precautionary that this wasn't the best day to go. So hurts us a bunch, but yeah, that's part of it. We don't want to re-aggravate it. And that's part of the thinking for keeping him out today is, you know, he got a day off tomorrow, and hopefully that can be the end of it.
All right, so there you go. That's Pat Murphy on Justin Upton. Precautionary, not in the lineup. I imagine even though he didn't say it, we could attach the prerequisite, hey, if this were a playoff game, he'd be in there, kind of talk to it. But it sounds like they just want to be rather safe than sorry with Justin Upton.
Even with Justin not swinging the bat well, you'd like him in the lineup because you never know when he's going to break out. So a couple of days off maybe will be the best thing for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, this is the reality of the situation. It's a guy who has played pretty much every game for the team so far this year, and he'll be off to the side tonight. Doesn't sound like he's available to pinch hit, although I guess you never know. You heard Murph sort of reference a catch in St. Louis. Now, we're not entirely sure that this is the catch he was referencing, but 4th of July, Colton Wong out to left field, and he makes a really nice running, reaching grab. Emphasis on reaching because, you know, when you are kind of stretched out like that, that could be a time to strain something in your side. So, again, I don't know that this is necessarily the catch that Pat Murphy was referring to when he first sort of aggravated the thing a couple of days ago in St. Louis, but it very well could have been.
You know, I don't know about you, but Colton Wong was a pain in my
– Yeah.
The whole time except, that the club was in St. Louis.
Except
and now,
that double play when he when Jerkle let it fall and he didn't run it out. That was the only time he wasn't a pain in
that's right.
In the side, yeah.
I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah,
all
sure.
the other
he
stuff.
He probably has too.
All the other stuff just kind of made that go away until now.
Yeah.
That good call.
Yeah, he did that. But you're right. Outside of
that. Did you see
that,
the double play he made against the Cubs the other day?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
No, he's like.
That was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just ruined the Padres while they were along with Pham.
And, yeah, Tommy
Pham. Pham hadn't gotten a hit since we left town.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you knew that was going to happen. That's always how that kind
exactly.
of thing happens. You know, we're talking about, where has this guy been? He's 27. How has he never been a big leaguer before? Well, now you know exactly why. He just ran into it for a couple of straight days, and that's the sort of thing that happens. But, yeah, so, yeah, you're right. Add it to the list of things that Colton Wong did to the Padres over the weekend. He apparently also hurt Justin Upton a little bit. So, again, they're taking it rather safe than sorry with Justin Upton. But he is your best hitter, and that is unfortunate. And, you know, as you're trying to avoid a sweep, you know, tonight in Pittsburgh, you'd love to be able to go to battle with Justin Upton in your lineup.
I would have thought that the catch that he made yesterday mm-hmm. would have been the thing that would hurt him. But I could see if he did pull something a little bit, making that play in St. Louis, that he could aggravate it just a tad yesterday with the type of catch that he made. That was a really good catch.
It was. Let's talk about that one. Pat Murphy, by the way, he said, hey, you know, Justin didn't mention last night when we were talking about this, but sure, it couldn't have helped. I mean, if you've got a little something going in your side and you go up and you make that play, I could see how that could aggravate some things or make it hurt a little bit more. But let's talk about it, man. It's one of the best plays we have seen all season, and not only that, it is our Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. Everybody's seen it 1,000 times by now. Andrew McCutchen thought he had a two-run go-ahead homer in the bottom of the fifth inning, and Justin Upton went all the way up to take it away. Great base running, by the way, apropos of nothing, ending up at second base on that. But Justin Upton with one of the best catches you will see in all of baseball this year. Hat tips from the dugout. And you could tell. Sometimes you can just tell when a guy's got a beat on it, right? And he had a good read on that thing.
He really did.
From the moment it was off the bat.
Shots of Montalvo to go around.
There you go. So that's the Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. Montalvo Tequila, triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. Justin Upton met the crowd in that one for sure. And luckily for him and the Padres, nobody in the way to make that any more difficult than it needed to be.
And you know what? You can see on that play that he really didn't stretch the left side too much. So I could see where if it was bothering him a little bit from St. Louis, that it really wouldn't hurt it too much more because he turned with it and didn't go back this way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that was good.
All right. It was just a sensational play, one of two great defensive plays that Justin Upton made last night. The other was on the fielder's choice. Throwing the guy out at second base on a ball to left field is always a fun, heads-up, good, strong, accurate throw kind of moment as well.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a good pick by him in left field for one thing.
Yeah.
And to get rid of the ball as quick as he did, that's what did the D. Because the runner can't go. I mean, that's a double play situation. That's a really tough situation for a base runner.
Right.
Because you don't know whether to go, whether to stay. And once he went and then started to go back, that's where his downfall was right there.
Yeah, and Upton was able to make the nice play. All right, so that was kind of the highlight of the night last night. That along with the Kemp double right after the rain delay that got the Padres going offensively. Unfortunately for San Diego, there was nothing else really positive coming out of that one. You know, Tyson Ross only gets to go two innings because of the rain. He'll start Sunday in Texas, which means that Odrysimer Despaigne can go to the bullpen from the time between now and the All-Star break. So if they do get in a situation again like last night where they need a long man, they'll have Despaigne out there. So Ross is able to go on Sunday. But pitching wasn't the issue. I mean, you know, hey, nice job, man. You know, Mateo and Garces coming in and then the sort of usual guys after that. It's offense once again for the Padres. And, you know, I thought, you know, in the middle of April, we had left 2014 behind. But that appears to not necessarily have been the case. Different roster, but very similar results at times for this Padre team with the lack of run production. And again, to be fair, in the last week, the Cardinals and the Pirates, I think they have the top two ERAs in the National League, the lowest ERAs in the National League. So you're running into two teams that really know how to pitch, and the Padres' bats unable to get going. We'll talk about that and this four-game losing streak, which it is all of a sudden for the Padres when we come back. Meanwhile, if you had to take bets of who's going to let us know what a Goku was, Ghost of Ray Kroc would probably have been near the top of your list.
Yes, it would
have. Ghost of Ray Kroc, he was not the only, but he was the first to chime in. This is Goku, and it's not a dragon. It's not a dragon at all. We received bad information. He is a guy. He wears an orange and blue jumpsuit. He looks like he could be on the 98 Padres. He wears an orange and blue jumpsuit.
I'm glad you said 98.
And he's from the show Dragon Ball Z. So there you go.
So that's
he's
a
guy.
Goku.
He's
How
not
tall
a
is a Goku?
I don't know. But he's not. He does not appear to be short and furry.
Regular size guy.
Nor a dragon. So third time's the charm. Thank you, Ghost of Ray Kroc, and everybody else who provided us with the information about what a Goku actually is. We'll take a break, come back. Hey, Twitter. Questions, comments, Goku, baseball, whatever. PadresSH is the hashtag to join the conversation. Hashtag PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to participate in the live chat that's going on right there. When we come back, we'll talk about last night. We'll talk about the rain. We'll talk about the offense. We'll talk about Tyson Ross, everything that goes into that. And coming up a little bit later, we'll talk trade rumors as well because it's starting to heat up. Starting to heat up around Major League Baseball. The trade deadline now about 3 weeks away, and it seems to be what everyone is talking about. And unfortunately, I understand why. I do with this Padre team right now. Hey, you can create your own four-game ticket package with the Padres Pick'em Packs presented by Budweiser. Choose from a selection of more than 15 games throughout the rest of the season to create your own mini ticket plan. So visit Padres.com/PadresPacks to create your own today. Still a lot of good reasons to come out to Petco Park this year, including the Ferris wheel as part of Comic-Con, I assume. That is part of Comic-Con, right? That's not going to be just there for the rest of the season, the Ferris wheel? No, okay. That's good.
You never know with Wayne.
That, yeah, hey, maybe it's the start of something. You know what? The Ferris wheel looked great. Let's just leave it
yeah,
out there.
No kidding.
I'll tell you what, though. Sunday when the kids come and they hang out at the park that's not a bad addition. You got the bounce house. You had a Ferris
now,
wheel.
Now, do you think they'd replace the diamond right there with the Ferris wheel? That'd be a tough call.
No,
right
if there. They were going to leave it permanently, no. You got to have the wiffle ball field. Got to keep the wiffle ball.
That's so much fun. Kids have so much fun.
Yeah, no,
there.
I love the wiffle ball field. So if you were going to do a permanent Ferris wheel in the park, you would not do it on the wiffle ball field.
And
that
if you've never noticed the score that's up on a scoreboard.
Yes.
FYI.
Yes.
Is.
It has the Padres winning. I've noticed it, but I've never paid close attention. You're talking at the wiffle ball field at the park at the park. Is it like a great moment in Padre history?
The only moment.
The
well,
only
I shouldn't say that.
The
that's
Garvey,
not fair.
Is it the Garvey home run? Is that
no.
what it is? Okay.
It's second game of the World Series.
Second scoreboard. Game of the World Series. Got it.
84.
84 World Series.
The only win.
You had a good series.
Yeah.
You had a really good series.
That's why I'm here.
No.
The only reason.
Put in a lot of years, man. Come on.
I did.
No.
I tricked him for a long
four,
time.
What was he having? Four what in the series?
Four.
Your average in the world in the 84 series.
417. 412.
Crazy. A couple dingers.
Yeah.
That's not bad, man.
It was fun. The ball looked big. Yep.
I guess, you know, if you're ever going to be locked in, let it happen at the end of October.
I always managed to lock in places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different guys, man. It's about different guys.
It is.
There's a clutch gene. I don't care what the math says.
I think you're right. I really do.
I don't think it's everything. I think it's something. I think it's something
but
to
it. But it's confusing, too.
Because?
If you can do it then.
Sure.
Why can't you do it when?
Why can't you do it on
the game doesn't mean anything.
July 18th against, you know, whoever? That's a good point. All right. Well, I'll take a break. Come back. More on last night's game right after this Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Comic-Con underway all around downtown San Diego. You encounter anything fun on the way in?
I think Blooper schedules me during Comic-Con every year because that, well, since last year.
Since last year.
Because I was here during
Comic-Con. Well, Comic-Con is several days long, and we do the show every single day, and we have a rotation of hosts. So odds are, I mean, everybody's going to work at some point during Comic-Con.
Oh.
Yeah. He's not singling you out, I assure you.
No, it's fine. I like coming down and see the funny people walking streets.
Now, you, unlike any of the rest of us, you've actually been a comic. You were a cartoon.
That's true.
So you, That's I true. Feel like, are maybe more at home when it comes to Comic-Con than any of us. Do we have comic cartoon Kurt Bavacqua? I think we do. Do we have I thought you had it.
King of the Hill?
Yeah, King of the Hill.
There
you go. There's cartoon Kurt.
Is that me?
I think so. I mean, it's what comes up in Google.
No.
That's not you?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, it's got the mustache.
I didn't know that I was on in another scene besides on the field.
Oh, okay.
So if that is me, pretty good looking guy.
Yeah, no. Nice strong jaw.
He did.
Mustache. Got the hair right.
They did well. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a nice job. Got a little Bill Buckner to it maybe also.
Billy B.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys could be brothers.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Such a shame what happened to him.
Yeah. Well, he's
with
made
the
peace
career
with it
that
now,
he
right?
had. He has. I think they allow him back in Boston.
He's now allowed to enter the state lines of Massachusetts.
Jeez.
I mean, I think he had more hits like in his career than Ted Williams. And obviously Ted Williams, you know, the war, and so it was interrupted. But Bill Buckner is, by most people's, you know, memory, one thing. Guy was a heck of a baseball player.
He really
was. For a really long time.
He really was.
I mean, he was an outfielder and then eventually a first baseman.
I think he hit just a tick below 300.
For his career.
299.
Yeah.
Had 2,800 hits. He was a solid player.
Really good
baseball
player.
And the last few years of his career, he had bad knees.
Yeah, well, that was a big part of
so
the 86 World Series.
Probably.
I mean, that's what everybody always says. It was McNamara, the manager, with the Red Sox, and they used to take Buckner out a lot late in the games. This is the lore, you know, in that season because the knees weren't so good. So in a defensive situation with the lead late in games, they take him out for defense, and they didn't in Game 6 of that World Series. And then Mookie Wilson ground ball, and there you go.
They had a two-game lead. They probably thought they were safe.
It was Game 6. It was Game 6.
Right.
Yeah, they're up 3-2 in the series. 3-2 in the series. 5-3
Well, not
game
a two-game lead, but two games to
play. To
play, with.
right. So if we don't win tonight, we'll get them in Game 7. Yeah.
Bad way to think.
Yeah, no, that's not
Jim
the way.
Jim Fry thought that way in the playoffs in 84.
Yeah, with the Cubs.
I'll hold Sutcliffe back
to
Game 5. He's not going to go in his regular time Game 4.
Go for it. If
that
you
was
have
a mistake.
The chance,
yes.
Yeah, as you know, if you have the chance, do it.
That's correct.
Finish him. Mortal Kombat. Finish
him. Always remember that.
Yeah. So anyway, you've been a cartoon, which none of us can say. So that's pretty cool.
Maybe I should walk around town in that outfit.
Yeah, pull on your King of the Hill outfit. I'm sure there's a guy here dressed like another King of the Hill character. You guys could just walk around together. It could be a whole thing. Let's talk about last night's game. A 3-2 loss to Pittsburgh. Remember after Friday in St. Louis, the Padres had won two in a row. They'd become the first National League team to win back-to-back games in St. Louis this year. You're like, man, they're going toe-to-toe with the team with the best record in the National League. You just beat the Cardinals twice. We were feeling good. Well, hey, this road trip is off to a good start. And now they've lost four straight. 2-1, 3-1, 2-1, and 3-2 last night. Where have the bats gone?
You know, it's you scratch your head after each and every one of these games.
Yeah.
You look at how well the pitching has been. And really, when you pick it apart, as ticked off as I was about the pitch that Benoit threw to Polanco last night, if you think about it, from the third inning on, when Garces entered the game, the bullpen did a heck of a job. I mean, when you hold the opposing team to three runs and you start the game for six innings, that's a quality start. These guys had quality appearances. They really did. The offense has just been non-existent for the most part, and I think the ball club needs to go out, sit amongst themselves, and figure out a way to score runs, a way to move runners, a way to get things done so they can get an early lead. We've talked about that before, how important it is to get early leads.
Well, they did. You know, right out of the rain delay, Alonso works a walk, Kemp gets the two-run double, and you're saying, all right, hey, Francisco Liriano just sat around for an hour and a half. He's coming back out. You know, more power to him. You know, Kemp hits the ball really hard, drives in a couple, 2-0, third inning. All right, let's get this thing going. And, I mean, boy, I wouldn't have thought that was it for the Padre bats in that game last night. And credit to Liriano. I mean, he settled back in and kind of returned to his old self.
I don't know if he returned to his old self or went to a completely different pitcher.
Sure.
Because he wasn't throwing the ball nearly as well as he was before the rain delay. I mean, you could really see an obvious change in the way he was delivering the baseball and also the velocity. There were a couple of times where he got it up pretty good in maybe the fourth or fifth inning, back up to 93, 94. But he wasn't throwing the ball anywhere near he was the way he was in the first couple of innings.
Yeah, well, it was good
enough.
I thought
we were going to get him.
It was good enough.
Certainly was.
You know, there really was. There was a moment, you know, maybe April 15th, April 25th, whatever it was, when we were watching this team play, and I said, man, 2014 is in the rearview mirror. You know, I feel good about this. You know, they were getting runs. They were hitting the ball all over the yard. Everybody was contributing, it seemed like, up and down the order. And it's just not been that way. You know, I mean, the offense is sort of stagnated. And, again, you got to give credit to St. Louis and Pittsburgh pitching because, statistically, some of the best pitching in the National League hangs out in St. Louis and Pittsburgh. And so that's what the Padres are running into. And I know Will Myers isn't in there. I know Yonder missed a good amount of time. Certainly those things hurt. But somebody's got to step up. You know, I mean, that's the reality of this game is that when you're missing guys, somebody else has to fill the void best they can. And the Padres' run scoring has again sort of disappeared and made things difficult. And it's been head scratching. And so that's sort of igniting all the questions about the big future here. And, you know, the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month. And John Morosi of FoxSports.com wrote a big article today about, you know, some of the pieces that the Padres could be listening to when it comes to trades. We'll talk about that when we come back because there's a lot to get to, obviously. And the Padres have some very real big league talent on their roster. So the question becomes, do you try and ride it out and give them another year to come together and sort of figure this thing out? Or do you try and get back some stuff, you know, for some guys that could be valuable on the trade market? Justin Upton, probably one conversation because of his impending free agency. A lot of the other guys may be a part of a different conversation and a bigger picture conversation. All I know, and we'll get into this in a moment, but for A.J. Preller, it's probably going to be a busy and stressful next 3.5 weeks.
Next couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah.
All-star game.
Yeah.
He's going to be busy boy.
Yeah, busy boy.
He's
not going to be laying out of the beach or anything like that. So we'll take that break, come back, and talk about all of that. Hey, one tweet before we go. Ed. Now, Ed tweeted the other day. He was not a fan of Little John. He was not happy that Little John was here. He came off a little cranky. We talked about it. Ed in Chula Vista. He seems like a good guy, but he came off a little bit cranky about the Little John thing. So he's got another tweet here that I think comes off a little cranky. But I want you to let me know because he likes you, Kurt. So he wrote, Ed wrote, "Hey, Kurt, haven't enjoyed a Padres season since 1984. Thanks for the memories." Now, like, I appreciate that he is a fan of that World Series team in 1984, but if he didn't enjoy 1998, I mean, is he a lost cause?
Well, I think he just looked past it.
Oh, he forgot it, you're saying?
Kind of.
You're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Maybe he's on vacation that year.
Okay. So he was gone for 1998.
We'll give Cranky Ed a pass on that one.
Okay. All right, Cranky Ed.
Considering Kurt's, he liked the 84.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah, you're coming at this very objectively.
Yeah.
All right, so Kurt's going to give Cranky Ed a pass. Ed, No Nonsense 88 is his name, by the way. So you know he's a serious dude. But Ed, if you just forgot about 98, you let us know. If it slipped your mind, we'll give you a pass. But if you're telling us you didn't enjoy 1998, Cranky Ed is going to stick. That's going to be the name. Because if you didn't enjoy the team going to the World Series, you're just going to – you'll forever be cranky at
the World Series wasn't that enjoyable.
Well, though. The whole run-up to it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't specifically necessarily mean those games against the Yankees, rather that entire season and everything that went along with it. Hey, be at Petco Park, whether you're Cranky Ed or anyone else. Baseball night in San Diego, Saturday, July 18th. All fans in attendance will receive a genuine Petco Park replica presented by Fanatics Authentic. So get your tickets to see the Padres face the Rockies at 5:40. Go to Padres.com/BNISD. Padres.com/BNISD. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the trade rumors and the trade winds. They are starting to swirl in San Diego.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Petco Park. Padres on the road. Comic-Con here, Padres not here. That's not a coincidence. Got to clear out the city for Comic-Con. So we're having some Comic-Con fun. A little bit here with a man that was a cartoon on King of the Hill.
So when the leagues do the scheduling,
yes,
because I was all over the league earlier, and I started thinking about it today. Mm-hmm. If there's something going on at major league parks throughout the big leagues,
right,
which I'm sure there are,
yeah,
they have to do all of that stuff also.
Yeah, no, that's a big part of it. So I think the way it kind of works is, teams can say, hey, there's a crazy event in our city. Like, you know, in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, I think it was, one of the conventions was there, the political conventions. And they said, hey, we need this thing cleared out because all the hotels are going to be gone. We got to be on the road during this week or 10 days. So they say, okay, you know, this team's going to be on the road. So similar thing here. This city is crazy during Comic-Con, so the Padres will always be on the road during Comic-Con. So you just kind of, you know, factor that in. So next July, by the way, because the team that hosts the All-Star game has to be on the road, I think for at least a couple of days before the All-Star game, obviously, so Major League Baseball can kind of come in and take over operations. So next July, Padres is going to be on the road right before the All-Star game, and then Comic-Con, I think, is later in July next year. And then they'll obviously be on – so the Padres are barely going to be home next July when you think about
it. I think Comic-Con scheduled their deal for next year based around the
Correct.
All-Star game.
They moved it later because of the All-Star game.
Right.
You can't have both those things happening at the same time. It's going to be a busy July downtown next year, man.
Wow, big time.
Major League Baseball coming in for the All-Star game and then Comic-Con doing their thing. All right, so the trade winds, they're blowing. Let me put this out there, and I hope this makes sense. I think when we talk about trades over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we'll be talking a lot about mm-hmm. trades over the course of the next couple of weeks, I think Justin Upton is his own category. He's the big ticket item. He's the impending free agent. I think we all knew when he was acquired this offseason that you know it was a very real possibility that things didn't go well for the Padres. He could be traded, you know, around the deadline. Everybody else then falls into the other bucket. Not that the Padres don't have other guys with expiring contracts, but then you're talking about, you know, Venable, Cashner. You can do some arbitration stuff in some cases. But Justin Upton is the true free agent, big ticket guy coming up. So I think he is one conversation. And everybody else is sort of another conversation. John Morosi, FoxSports.com, he threw basically every name against the wall earlier today for the Padres. And it wasn't that he was hearing anything was happening. He was just speculating. So I think that's an important distinction to make right here. He's not saying, oh, I heard that they're trying to move this guy. He's just saying, hey, it might make sense if they try and move those guys. And, I mean, he mentioned everybody from Kimbrel to Venable and in between. You know, I mean, he was throwing a lot of names out there. You know, Benny on Twitter said it a moment ago, and we've all said it 1,000 times, this road trip kind of felt like a make-or-break deal for the Padres. They've now lost 4 straight games, and so the trade talks surrounding, I think, in particular, Justin Upton are definitely going to get louder in the days ahead.
So because of the way the team played, would it have been – would the talks have been much more diligent if the team got blown out of the games? Or do you hold back a little bit because of how well that they've played the baseball games, how well the pitching has been, knowing that this offensive team, although we haven't figured out a way to get the engine going consistently throughout the course of the whole year, mm-hmm. you know that it's there. Are Upton and Kemp the forces behind the offense of this baseball team?
Right.
Do the other players in the lineup need those two guys to contribute in any given game for the offense to work? If we remember early in the season when they were scoring a lot of runs in certain games, it was Upton and Kemp mm-hmm. as big contributors, and everybody else jumped on the bandwagon. It seems like when these two guys don't swing the bat very well or they're in a little bit of a down, the rest of the team is also there.
They're the tempo setters.
Kind of seems like it.
So part of what you were saying was you know that it's in there. The success is somewhere in there for this Padre team. We've seen it at times with the bats. We've seen it at times with the pitching. So what I'm sort of interpreting from that, not to speak for you, would be that you wouldn't be in favor of blowing the whole thing up. Now you make a move here, you make a move there, you try and, you know, get back whatever you can. But you're not of the belief, and some people are, to just kind of blow the whole thing up and start from scratch. And some people, I mean fans and media. I don't mean the organization.
I think AJ has put himself in a position, and the organization in a position, where he can now make moves that you would normally make as a seller, but also to improve your team. So if he goes out and knows, I would think that they've had some type of conversations with Upton and his agents about whether or not they might stay here. I would think that it's going to take the ball club to win for him to stay here.
You're talking about in free agency?
In free agency.
Okay.
Or for the ball club to want to write a check
sure.
for what it's going to take.
Which could be $175 million. It could be $200 million. I mean, who knows?
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of money.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So do you go there? You certainly don't go there if the ball club's going to finish not in the playoffs. But you might work with him in a trade knowing that you're going to lose him to get better players back that might be able to contribute offensively the remainder of the year mm-hmm. and still keep you in the race and get something that you might be lacking offensively or in the first place.
You should be able to get some nice pieces, some
oh, yeah.
really, really nice pieces if it does come.
There might
that.
Be a few deals that he could make.
that's all part of the larger conversation. I think for me, when you think about the full roster, right, when A.J. Preller was making all of these moves in the offseason, we said, hey, for most of these guys, excluding Kemp, excluding Upton, young guys who are under team control for several years, Derek Norris, Will Myers, Will Middlebrooks. You obviously signed James Shields to a longer-term, you know, free agent contract. So I don't know that you need to blow it up. I mean, there are people out there saying, start from scratch. You've got some pieces here. Now, have guys underperformed? Absolutely. That happens. I don't know that you take 1 year and say, forget about it. I just don't. You know, I mean, I look back at the Marlins a couple of years ago. Remember when they opened their new ballpark and they sort of went for it and they had Burley and Jose Reyes and Ozzie Guillen was the manager and they were like, let's, and it was one bad year and ownership blew the whole thing up. And they've sort of just been scratching and clawing their way back, you know, to relevancy ever since. And I think that blowing it up is a really easy thing to say when you're frustrated, but you got to take a look at each individual piece on the roster and assess value as a baseball player, what you're paying them, what the contract situation is, and say, okay, is this a guy, you know, that could be useful to us, you know, when we do start to win, hopefully next year or whenever.
There's not one person that's talking about blowing up this ball club that's watched every single game this year. It's just an impossibility.
Okay.
The games have been too good at times for somebody to think blow it up.
Okay.
I'm not against making some moves.
Sure.
And I think we are hanging on the other side of the fence, the seller side of the fence right now, and there has to be some games made up in order for you not to just let loose and be sellers. We're right there.
Clock's ticking on all of that.
In my mind.
Certainly for the Padres. They got one more in Pittsburgh, day off tomorrow. You got Texas over the weekend into the All-Star break, and then you come home for a long homestand, Colorado, San Francisco, Miami.
And they're playing good baseball. That's the sad part about the whole thing. There are some mistakes that are being made that can't be made at the major league level. You cannot make base running mistakes game after game, and it's not really every single game, but there's been some base running mistakes made by Yonder Alonso that just can't be made consistently. Errors in the field are going to happen. You're going to have to overcome them. The tough play that Alexi had in St. Louis, that was a tough play.
Yeah.
The play that Solarte made, that was a great play, and it turned into a negative situation because the throw got away. And probably it bounced the only way that Yonder's not going to catch it because he's a great defensive first baseman.
It just had to hit that one little lip of where the grass and the dirt meet. Yeah.
And we're not. And I'm not sitting here making excuses. I'm looking at things, but what if it was this and not just the outcome? Because sometimes you don't worry about the outcome, you worry about the approach. The approach has been pretty darn good, I think, for the last 6, 7, 8 games. And I think these guys knew that they had to win baseball games, and boy, they're right there in every single one of them.
Well, at the end of the day, the outcome does matter at some point.
Sure it does.
You know, it does. But I get what you're saying. It's more complicated. It's not black and white. It just isn't. It's more complicated than did they win tonight or not. Now, there comes a point when you have to look at the win-loss record. And you say, well, it's not good enough to sustain, you know, what we're trying to do here, and then you make the moves. But you're right. I guess if you're having to step back and look at the holistic thing, you know, you are taking a look at the approach and the results. But there comes a moment, man, where you can't escape the results. There comes a moment.
Yeah, but if you go up to the plate as a hitter and you try to hit the ball hard and you do it 10 times and it just happens to go at fielders all 10 times,
sure.
The result's not good.
I agree.
But the approach is great. So
you don't want to change anything at that point.
Really don't.
Right, yeah.
So
but as you
naturally
trickle,
you want to change the outcome when it comes to winning and losing a game. I mean, if you're going up and doing your job as a hitter and a pitcher's going out there and doing their job, for the most part, I mean, you know, Garces and Kelly, the other pitchers that came in that game, with the exception of that one pitch that was up, they were good.
Yeah.
I mean, they really were.
No, they absolutely were.
And it's just, you know, games like that, you sit there and you shake your head and you're upset after they're over and you're all ticked off that the team lost and you go, it's 4 in a row. Man, they started out this road trip so good. But the games have been so good.
Yeah.
They really have.
Well, you're absolutely right. But I think as you slide farther and farther below 500 and farther behind the division and wild card leaders, you know, there's a tipping point.
There is. Yeah. I understand.
No, but I get what you're saying. It's a very, very, very fair point and very true. All right, we'll continue this conversation. Also get to some Twitter stuff when we come back. I mentioned Padres on the road during Comic-Con. Ghost of Ray Kroc checks in with the historical part of it. He said the first 2 years at Petco, the Padres were at home, but they haven't been at home during Comic-Con week since 05. Oh, good little bit of history. I would say they learned their lesson at some point.
What doesn't Ghost know?
It's amazing, right? Like, he's actually tracked that in his mind. He's got his big calendar on the wall, right? Home and road, and it goes back, and it's got Comic-Con and Padre games and whatever else he's interested in. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at the Park at the Park or the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break. Come back. More Twitter, more questions, more comments, and more talk about the state of the Padres right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. We're live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres and the Pirates coming up from PNC in Pittsburgh. That's a lot of P's. Padres, Pirates, PNC, Pittsburgh. They'll try and avoid the sweep. Pods have played so well in Pittsburgh since they opened PNC Park, but they lose the first two games of this series, 2-1 and 3-2.
Got to hope for a victory tonight.
That's
You're
it,
man. A cartoon now.
Yes,
Did
I am.
You
so,
see that?
At the beginning, yeah, we're about to show it. So earlier on in the show, Pete, who does our opens, the voices and like the funny stuff in the open, mm-hmm. right? He talked about Darth Vader and Goku. Is that it?
Goku.
I already forgot. I said, what on earth is a Goku? I have no idea. And we figured it out. Ghost of Ray Kroc, of course, supplied the information. But Ian apparently is a bit of an artist. Here, you're a cartoon now. And he drew me saying, what on earth is a Goku? Not bad. Not a bad drawing. What do you think? Pretty accurate.
I didn't think it was that hastily done.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Right on.
If that is hastily done, then
he's good.
Then what's a good drawing that he does look like?
Yeah, that's a cartoon.
He's got the striped socks there. Now I've been a cartoon too. I'm like you. I'm in the club.
He even put the little apple on the computer.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's pretty cool.
That is. I appreciate that. Yeah, is there like a secret handshake? You were on King of the Hill.
We've got it. I'll teach it to you later.
Oh yeah, don't let Blooper see it.
I know.
Because he has not been a cartoon. And
we'd have to hurt him
if
we did that.
We wouldn't want that to happen. No. All right, so a lot of trade talk. Going on. And an interesting question came in, and it's, I think, probably on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, right? And Jellyman, I thought, phrased it really nicely. And so he goes, what about the downer for all of these players when in limbo about being traded, affecting their play? So as a player, right, you're like, all right, I'm trying to go out here. You know, we've lost four in a row. I'm hearing my name on the internet, MLB trade rumors, Twitter, everything. How do you tune that out as a player?
You don't. You absolutely don't. And it is a downer. I mean, you're living in a city that you enjoy playing in. And trust me, these guys are loving being here in San Diego. I mean, what's not to love, for one thing? And the fact that this team has good chemistry, that leads them to be good teammates, which they are. There's no problem with the chemistry on this baseball team. That's absolutely a valid point right there. These guys like each other. They have a good time. They just need to coordinate some consistency now with their offense, because their pitching is really doing well.
Yeah.
But it is a downer. When you hear your name all the time, or there's even speculation a little bit, you always wonder. You've got your family there. You're going to have to up and move. If you get traded while the team's on the road, what are you going to do? I got traded when I was in Cincinnati with San Diego to Pittsburgh 1 year. I didn't come back to San Diego for 2 months.
Wow.
They don't think about
– yeah.
People don't think about that in general. And the clubs, for the most part, don't think about it either.
Well, they can't.
That's correct.
They're trading stocks at the end of the
day. That's correct.
And this stock market does not go down like the actual stock market today. It doesn't just stop.
Going to get rid of you.
It's 24-7. Yeah.
Jack McKeon called me 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
We just got through a doubleheader. You got a Pittsburgh. They're in Chicago. They want you there tomorrow. There was no lights then. 2:30 in the morning, just got back to the hotel. I was on a 6 o'clock flight.
Mm-hmm. Did you play that day?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
it's the human element that does not often get discussed. And I think it should be discussed more because like you're saying, it can impact these guys. It can have an effect on what's going on the field. And I imagine, look, when you're in the batter's box, you got enough to worry about that you're trying not too hard to think about it. But those other, 99% of your day, that can be tough.
You know, if you're single and it's just you,
sure,
it's one thing. But when you've got a family that you have to worry about, it's a completely different animal. I think Joel Youngblood, I don't know if anybody's done it since then, but there was one time back in the 80s where Joel Youngblood got traded from the Mets to the Montreal Expos. Mm-hmm. And he got a hit in two countries in the same day. He played a day game in New York and then got traded to the Expos and went and played a night game there and got a hit in both games.
It's a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to do it. All right. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. Maybe time for a little bit more Twitter. We're wrapping up. We've got a spider attacking us. This is very Comic-Con. There appears to be a spider. Spider-Man himself is attacking our outside camera as we get ready for Comic-Con craziness in San Diego.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, in Milwaukee the other night, Braves were playing the Brew Crew. Another fan hit by a foul ball in the stands, lower level, behind the dugout kind of stuff. Andrelton Simmons, the shortstop for the Braves, was asked about the play after the game. Andrelton Simmons, keep this in mind, maybe the best defensive shortstop in baseball, right? You can make that argument. So just keep that in mind as you hear this quote from Andrelton Simmons. Sometimes you wish the net was bigger to at least cover the people that don't have time to react. I wouldn't sit that close without a net. That's Andrelton Simmons saying that. Not some guy holding a baby or a lady looking down at her Twitter on her phone during action. That's one of the best defensive players in baseball saying, I wouldn't sit back there without a net. So, Kurt Bavakwa, I put you on the Cholula hot seat, and I ask you, do we need to put nets that extend maybe, not just right behind home plate, down to the dugout or whatever, to protect the people sitting down low?
If it's good for the people, which it's going to be, it definitely needs to go up. There's just too much distraction during the course of a game. I mean, I sit in the stands a lot of times with my family and watch a game, and you constantly have people getting up and down, and they block your view. And if you're really close,
yeah,
my seats aren't, but if you're really close.
Blooper, come on.
You can't
get in better seats?
You can get nailed. Yeah, Blooper, he does a good job.
Adequate.
No, I've seen people get hit really hard.
It's scary.
And it's amazing that more people don't get hurt. Because the thing of it is you got these big macho guys that get up, and they're going to catch the ball. And at the last minute, they realize how fast it's coming, right?
And he's out of the way.
And they duck.
Yeah.
They duck out of the way. And there's
somebody right behind them.
Completely block their view.
Yeah. It's bad, man.
It really is.
It's to me, it's a no-brainer, and whenever this comes up, I always say, let's make the change now before anything really bad happens. We don't need to wait for something really bad to happen when all of a sudden everyone will be like, you're right, we should do this. Let's do it before something really bad happens.
Because you know it's inevitable.
That's it. Kurt's on the Cholula hot seat. Nicely done.
That was easy.
That was a good hot take. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break, come back, and wrap it up. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, so Justin Upton makes the great catch last night out in left field. It's all anybody's talking about around baseball last night. And you heard just person after person, former players, fans, Dodger fans, it didn't matter, saying, man, that's one of the best catches of the season. But the world of internet commenting, you can always find a negative guy. This was on Deadspin, and I'm going to paraphrase the guy's comment. I honestly don't see the big deal. The wall there isn't high at all, and I'm sure that leap isn't even close to his vertical limit. Plus, he had good position before it even left the bat, so he had plenty of time to track it, yada, 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 yada. The response, hey, dude, would you like to not watch baseball with me sometime? Hilarious.
The one thing that fans don't understand is those, for the most part, those catches, you can't practice.
There's no way to do it.
There really isn't. I mean, unless you get balls hit to you in the outfield and you actually try to scale the walls during the game, doesn't happen.
All right, Andrew Cashner, Charlie Morton tonight. Off day tomorrow. We'll be on at 5:30. Enjoy the game.